Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 332 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strathers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
My man, we were talking earlier about the goings-on, and man, it's crazy times right now. Slammed busy. The whole world is upside down. But listen, what's going on with you?
I'm being constantly reminded that my son, for some reason, has way more athletic ability than I ever did, and fearlessness. That's been one thing that's been I've been subtly proud and jealous of. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're happy for him, but you're also like, I know what? I wish I had that when I was little, but I didn't. Like, the things he can do on a diving board that I was never able to do, like, at any point in my life, even now. Like, he does, like, backward dives, back flips, all kinds of work. I could never do it. I was never ballsy enough. I hit my back too many times. I said, nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
he just takes the smack and keeps going.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because one of the things I noticed this week is that my son is substantially, I don't want to say more intelligent, but he's much more wise, and his vocabulary is better than mine was when I was his age, and probably it is, than it is now.
Yeah.
And he, okay, the dude's eight, right? Almost nine, but he's eight. We're recording Dinner with the Healers yesterday, and I made this. So let me preface what I'm getting ready to say with, we are huge fans of the show Community, and we're in the middle of yet another complete series watch through. Okay.
Yeah.
So I said, and boom, there they are, off to dreamland. And it made me think of this episode. And I said, Bluey and Muffin off to dreamland, making their way to Sleepy Town. And the Dean sings that to Troy and Abed on an episode, and we always die. I am in the middle of it. And he goes, whoa, Dad, there's going to be copyright issues, because that is from Community. Copyright issues. And I was like, where do you learn about this stuff, man?
Yeah.
I mean, and I suspect it's probably from watching all these YouTubers that he watches.
Yeah.
But I mean, the dude's eight.
Yeah.
He's dying laughing while he's telling me too. But yeah, quite wise. Kids, man. I mean, good on him.
Well, it probably helps that he has you as a dad. You know what I mean? As far as the vocabulary and stuff goes. I mean, because, I mean, you're always slapping my wrist. So I can't imagine what it's like when it's your own children. So.
Did I tell you that Stella corrected her mother's grammar?
Yeah. And she got labeled Eric Jr.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, yeah, I was really proud of her.
But, you know, like, I think, when I said jealousy, that's the wrong word. But, like, you know, you're kind of jealous for, like, the younger version of yourself. You know what I mean? Like, man, I wish that little guy had that kind of tenacity that they have.
Right.
You know? And, like, but at the same time, you also realize he's doing exactly what you hope that they do, which is to be better than you. Like, you want absolutely. Them to be the better version of you, you know, in a way. You know what I mean? Not necessarily, you don't, like, my son has a lot of my traits, you know, some of the good ones and the bad ones, but he also goes beyond anything that I was ever good at. And he's got such a kind heart, which I'm glad that I do have. And I did have a lot when I was a little boy. Like, I famously, like, hugged all my teachers when I saw them for the first time. And, like, my mom has video of me getting on the bus and, like, hugging the bus driver for the first day of school, stuff like that, you know? And that's Max too. And he has a friend down the road I told you about that's been coming over all the time named Axel. He just kind of showed up one day. And Axel and Max, what a duo. But Max always wants to, like, give him a hug goodbye. And Axel's like, nah, I'm good on that. That's not, no. I'm like, Max, I understand that we're a huggy people, but not everybody is. It's okay.
Right.
So it's been like, that's been a learning experience for him too.
Well, you definitely want your kids to have more than you did. You want them to excel more than you did. You want them to have more opportunities than you did. And for anybody listening to this show who maybe isn't a parent yet, I want to tell you something. So in this episode of Bluey that we were talking about, it's called The Sleepover. And in this episode, their young cousin Muffin is right at that age where she is phasing out of the ritual midday nap. And so she's just slap happy, blind tired. Okay. And I realized a thing. If you've never had kids and you're thinking about having kids and you're wondering what's it really like, here's exactly what it's like. When you were younger, as a young adult slash late teens, you probably had that friend that when you went out and partied, they got out of control drunk, where you had to constantly keep them from stepping in front of cars and getting into fights and all of these things where they were just, what, you turn your back for 1 second and they're gone.
Yeah.
That is like having a toddler. It is exactly like having a toddler. They have somehow an unexplained amount of strength. And it's, that is exactly what they're like. And you're thinking, I can't believe they haven't just laid down and passed out yet.
And they're somehow a lot sneakier than their body movement suggests. And like quick, a lot quicker than that suggests as well. All of a sudden on top of a bookcase, like how the hell did you get up there? How did I not hear you? How did I hear that happening?
That's what having a kid's like. So if you never, if you have never experienced that firsthand, congratulations. That's what you're in for. And now you know.
Enjoy. I'm and then when they get a little bit older, it's like little devil versions of yourselves who know way more than you. And you're an idiot. And they'll say like, you'll be like, okay, we can't do this because we don't have that. And they'll be like, okay, but yeah, but I want this because I need this right now. You're like, yeah, well, it's impossible. They're like, yeah, but I don't think you're hearing me. Like, I want that though. And I'm like, I don't think you're hearing me. And it, it goes nowhere.
This, so my son, I said, hey, if you do this coloring page that they gave you and do a good job, I'll give you $1. No. I said, okay, fine. I'll give you $2. He goes, yeah, I'm going to need like $10 or $20.
Oh my God.
And kids just got it figured out, man. I did have to tell my daughter something, and I think this is a life lesson we can all learn. She has decided she wants to start playing the guitar.
Nice.
Well, we sit down and we have like a formal lesson. And I'm sort of trying to take this accelerated approach to get her to playing things rather than have it just be a mechanical contest, right? And I'm having to pull out my old sayings back when I taught a lot. There was a period of time where I was carrying like 35 students a week and working a full-time job. And one of the things that I learned, and listen, this applies if you're a boss at work, all of these things, this is a leadership principle I'm going to explain to you. You're welcome. It's free. If you ask a guitar student, so did you practice this week? It could also translate into, have you got this assignment done, Bob, in accounting? Anything like that. If the first word out of their mouth isn't yes, the answer is no. I'm just telling you. If it's anything except yes, well, here's the thing. No, the answer is no. Just say no. We, this will just save us all the time in the world. The answer is no. And that's pretty much a thing.
Well, they're trying, as a person who constantly comes up with a million different scenarios for a million different things and reasons to hope somebody doesn't get mad at them, they're hoping by giving, by slowly giving it to you in a, well, I didn't get it completely done, but I did this, that you're not going to be like, you're a piece of shit. You know what I mean? That's what they're, that's what they don't want to hear. So, and obviously that's what they've been told before. So, so you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah,
I do. So listen, Real quick, I want to talk about some video game stuff because, you know, that's quite frankly our favorite thing. And
yeah.
people get to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
They patched Jedi Survivor and I was able to finally get 100% on it.
Nice.
Finally.
100% machine continues.
Yes. And I'm still working on my playthrough, my second playthrough on Grandmaster difficulty level. Yeah. It's quite amusing. If you want to watch somebody struggle and get real mad, I can tell you where to go. It's twitch.tv/mouserat2217. But, and I know we've said this ad nauseum, it is an amazing game and you need to get it and you need to play it.
Yeah.
I have spoken.
You know what I have spoken about as far as streaming and you're talking about Twitch? Twitch is continuing to screw anybody who streams on there. It's kind of getting out of control.
What's next? What are they doing now?
Well, they're eliminating a lot of their partnerships with big streamers. And they're also, like, I think they're taking even more of a share of your profits. It's like,
nice.
I think it's like 70-30 now. They're their way.
Woof, really?
I think so.
Jeez.
We'll look into it. And meanwhile, there's new platforms popping up all the time that are drawing people to them. So I streamed to Twitch last night just for shits and gigs. Like I didn't have my camera on. I just wanted to do it. Just to, it was be there because I was by myself and it's like fine. And I don't know, man. I think the only thing they have left is the fact that a bunch of people have Twitch. That's really all they really have left because I don't know if it's because they're owned by Amazon or what it is, but they seem to not really care about what makes Twitch go. And and I don't know if it's because it's not as if Amazon doesn't have the server bandwidth to keep up with whatever traffic they have, nor the foundation and server houses to, you know what I mean, to like house all of it. But
right.
And I understand expenses are expenses, but also AWS is the biggest, probably the biggest thing in the world behind Apple and Microsoft. Right. So
well, look, what's wild is that all of these people are providing content for their platform.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's kind of like podcasting.
Yeah.
You've got all of these content providers providing said content. And mm-hmm. it's different when it's a podcast host, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on how they do ad revenue, if it's separate from your hosting fee and all that. But still, I mean, a 50% share on its own is a lot. Yeah. And the fact that they make money off of ads on your video on demand stuff, which is just your past streams.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get any of that. You mm-hmm. only earn money on your live streams. And they also have several things like, according to their terms of service, you are not supposed to share your past streams on mm-hmm. any other platform within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, stop me.
Yeah, well, maybe take the YouTube export off as an option.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would do.
It sounds like they try to in their own way, the way you describe it, like by making it extremely shitty. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because like, it does. I just started recording it to hard disk and then using that instead. But nobody's watching that. It's just for me. But here's the thing. The problem is with other platforms. Like let's say Kick as an example. That's the one you're seeing like out in the forefront right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's from my perspective, from what I've seen, it's very bro-y.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? The whole
streaming universe is bro-y.
Yeah, but I mean, this is where like all of your people who have been banned from other places for being mm-hmm. terrible.
Being terrible or fucking on Twitch. We're not, obviously, I guess the terms of service, you know, stuff
they,
like that.
But like they've just been welcomed with open arms.
Yeah.
And listen, don't get me wrong. There is unfairness that goes on and mm-hmm. people get banned unfairly. But there mm-hmm. are also people who there is a reason why it happened. And they're essentially like an anything goes kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, they're also a gambling site sponsored platform. So like,
nice.
So like, but also there's a whole, you know, the pendulum swinging effect with Kick and things like Kick, like the you can come here because you were banned here thing, right? Like, because there was such a big swing for one way to be extremely accepting of everything and everybody is perfect and, you know, whatever else, you know what I mean? And then, and you can't say anything negative at all about anything or make jokes or whatever. And then, like, so now there's this harsh swing the other way, which happens. This is how it goes, where people like, Elon Musk buys Twitter and then starts bringing back people who were banned for miscellaneous terrible reasons or perceived terrible reasons, you know, stuff like that. And then Kick comes who says, you can do whatever you want, really, who cares? And we just hope eventually you end up gambling on our platform. And then, but it's this whole thing that swings that happened all the time during the end and the beginning of Biden and the beginning of Biden's presidency when like Trump was like kicked off of Twitter and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then there are all these other platforms sprung up that would be the Twitter alternative. So like it's just a back and switch. And then there's the people in the middle who are like accepting of the things that were changing, but they're also kind of like, okay, well, you're going too far this way. Like I need to have some middle ground. I'm not just going to be whatever you say. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to find out where you fit in, especially people like in our generation, you know, like I think we're technically in two different generations, but like we're pretty, I think we're close enough in age to say we're in the same generation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But like, you know, you're a Gen Xer. I'm a millennial, an elder millennial, like they call me. But we grew up in a time where it was, you know, a lot different, but we're also young enough to accept that like, okay, things change, you know, and realize that's for the better in a lot of ways, you know, but we're also not so young that we grew up into that big swing up the other direction. So like, we're like, okay, I see you going up there, but like, you know, don't forget, like there is middle grounds to things. It really is. I know it doesn't feel like it, but there is. So anyways, I'm not saying I support any of these platforms. I don't. They're all out to make as much money as they can off of you.
Of course, sure. Really, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what their platform is. But ultimately, Amazon owning Twitch kind of it elevated it, but it's also ruined it because Amazon is a money churning machine, and Twitch is not a money churner maker. It's just not. It never has been a real super profitable business.
Right.
And I don't know, man. Like it's hard to say what the right course is for all that. But I've been really unsatisfied with Twitch for a long time. So,
well, it's kind of hard for me to complain because I make money off of it.
Yeah, and but like it's like what you. Yeah, I get you. Go ahead.
But getting there on YouTube would be 1,000 times harder.
Yeah,
you know the fact that you got to have 1,000 subscribers before you can even monetize your streams, that's just sheesh, that's seemingly insurmountable.
Yeah, it definitely is that. And it's, you know, it ultimately isn't if you're willing to like actually like put effort into it, but not it requires a lot of effort, but also requires, if you think about it, the reason why you were able to attract people to your thing in the first place is because you were already known through a different thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it's kind of branched from there. So if you were to do that on YouTube, it would expand itself as well. But like, I get it. To 1,000 people, that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But anyway.
Got to get an algorithm, man.
Appreciate it. So real quick, while we're talking about the middle ground thing, I want to throw something out there that we were talking about during our production meeting. Yeah. And that is this. So, you know, I did that Patreon episode I told you about
I listened to it.
The Hillsong documentary. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, really proud of how it came out. And I've really been trying to be better about what I say I believe. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. being who I know I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But one thing I've noticed, and this has been the go-to forever, and it's the same thing with, like, sobriety mm-hmm. and all of these things. People who don't do what I do mm-hmm. have way more of a problem with what I do than what I have with what they do. Mm-hmm. Way more.
Oh, yeah.
People yeah. who are, I am not bothered by people's drinking at all, unless they're just sloppy, annoying people. But that's not because of the drinking. It's because they're freaking sloppy, annoying and sloppy. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with people who don't share my views on faith. Listen, I get why you don't. I get it. Mm-hmm. I wish you did, but it's...
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, the rub I get in the other direction is mm-hmm. wild sometimes. Yeah. And I find that very interesting that mm-hmm. it seems like people would assume it would be the other way around. Mm. And it has not been my experience whatsoever that that's the case.
You're also in a different culture right now. You know what I mean? Like, because when I was young, actually not even that young, when I was a teenager, there was the a lot of religious people, if you were to admit that you had no faith, especially in Indiana, you know what I mean? Like the area where we live, if you admitted to a lot of people, even in school, that you didn't believe in God or you didn't have a faith or a church or whatever, they would look at you. I got looked down on a lot because of it. So like, I understand, like, what you're saying exactly. Because I agree, because there's a shift where now there's a bunch of, what's it called, armchair quarterbacks mm-hmm. who think they know everything about your faith because they watched a couple of YouTube videos.
Right.
And they know now that, like, your whole thing is evil and blah, 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 blah. But, like... There's multiple paths to everything. People could be casting that shadow on you because of their past experiences. You know, same. Well, time.
And on that, I understand. Lots yeah. of people have. When I say hurt by the church, I mean they've had negative experiences.
yeah,
in church, whether it's people condemning them. Or whatever. And the reason it seems so, I mean, but it's basically the same thing that happens everywhere else you go.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it just seems more egregious because it's from people who are preaching this message mm-hmm. of faith and hope and being a decent human being. But the same token is you're going to have buttholes who like work for the Red Cross or whatever. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just people are people wherever you go. And it's just wild to me. One thing, though, that as I was talking my way through this that I really, really noticed, and for people who consume certain types of media, like podcasts as an example, okay?
Hello.
I realized that my opinions on certain things and certain people mm-hmm. were completely...
skewed?
Informed by other people's opinions, and I just took them as... gospel, pardon the pun. One of the people I was talking about was like Joel Osteen mm-hmm. and the realities of who Joel Osteen is versus the people who don't like him, what they instantly assume. Dude, I bought right into it. I'm like, that guy sucks. Everything about him is terrible. And I realized that was all based on, I didn't look into it whatsoever. That sounds right. That's probably the deal. And I realized I'm just part of the very thing I claim to be frustrated by. And that's just it. I guess what I'm really trying to say is that there are so many different points of view. Mm-hmm. And if...
That's been lost today, though, by the way.
You're not
allowed to.
But you need to extend the same grace that's given to you.
Yes.
Right? in mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if at your job, let's say you get away with clocking in a little bit late and whatever, yeah. and then suddenly, five years down the road,
5 years later.
But you're the boss, right?
Yeah.
You have to extend that same grace that was extended to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like a parent. I'm not speaking from personal experience of anybody in my family. But let's say you're growing up and you're a complete handful and your parents really do their best
yeah.
to be loving and understanding and see you through it. You have to extend a similar amount of grace to your kids and not swing the complete other way and be this massive butthole that yeah. just brings the hammer down on the slightest hint of something you've deemed unacceptable.
Yeah.
But
that's one of the hardest parts of parenting.
Yeah.
Is taking your adult grown mind and realizing your child does not have that mind.
Well,
you know what I mean? Yes, that it's that constant battle. Like, why'd you do that? You know, that's your first thought is, why'd you do that? What's wrong with you? Oh, yeah, you're a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know.
And like back when we were strictly a Star Wars podcast,
yeah,
you know, this is the kind of thing ultimately we'd end up touching on, but just using Star Wars as an example for like how it taught you these lessons. Yet, somehow, many of the people who would watch Star Wars would somehow miss,
yes,
like the basic tenets of what the message of Star Wars is: tyranny, bad.
Yeah. That's one of the ones always cracked. I'm like, you do realize the Empire was the bad guys, right? And they
right.
they that was George Lucas's version of the Nazis. You know that, right?
Right. I would joke around about like my son going, boy, that Kylo Ren's really got things figured out. Don't go on any bridges with him, Eric. Just don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Just stay away from bridges and you're fine.
Yeah, those are the kinds of things that I do think that's a lost thing. And yeah. one of the things like I want to teach my kids is it takes all kinds, man. Is it yeah. this doesn't look like what we do, but it doesn't make it any less okay. Mm-hmm. And I realize I'm being very vague, but it could apply to just about anything. And I think that's part of the problem. Like when people talk about like Christianity and religion in general, it's like the condemnation or the idea of it.
Yeah.
Based on things that, I don't know, man. I just.
No. There's been a lot of things about like what's acceptable in not only life, but as far as entertainment, like, you know, comedy, for example, right? And like what's okay to joke about, what's not okay to joke about. And like, I think I was telling you earlier, I was listening to a podcast interview with Josh Homme, as you remember from last week, and he was speaking, he was on a comedian's podcast and they were talking and the comedian was talking about how like he has to, when he's working on a joke, how he has to go about it. And then he has to understand whether or not they would perceive it in a certain way or whatever. And Josh was saying, you know, one of the best things that's still a reality in America is that you can leave, is that you're allowed to get away from something that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like the best exercise we have in America is to go, okay, that's not for me, and leave. That's the best. That's the one freedom we really have left. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't say, if they should be allowed to say offensive jokes, whatever. I think they should, because it's like, whatever, it's America. But like, freedom of speech is how it goes. But like, it's like we've gotten to the point to where we have such a strong opinion about everything that to hear somebody else's opinion feels almost offensive. And that's wrong. That's not right. How it should be. Like, you shouldn't be offended by an opinion, because everybody is living their life as the main character, right? And you're not. that you're not them. You're you. So all you can do is be the best you. And if you try to go around changing the entire world constantly, you're going to have a very exhausting, unfulfilled life because you forgot to live your life.
Yeah.
And so
that is a fool's errand there.
Yeah. And but that's how it seems that people are spinning their wheels constantly trying to do. And as far as this whole church documentary thing, and you were talking, I didn't watch the documentary. I don't really have a desire to see it. I've seen plenty of documentaries about topics, right? And I've gone on at length about how I used to be an exhausting atheist, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like really like I, if I didn't tell you to your face about the shortcomings of your religion, in my opinion, like you could see in my face when you start talking about it, how much I really didn't want, they really, really thought you were dumb. You know what right. I mean?
For sure.
And I want you to know that when you talk about yours, I don't think you're dumb. I don't. That was just me being an idiot. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, dude. I mean, yeah. This is going to shock some people, so you better sit down. Uh-oh. There was a time I thought the same thing.
Yeah. It's not shocking. Everybody has their own things. What I'm saying is when you, as you get older, and I think that's what a lot of these people who are outraged constantly on Twitter or online or wherever these days, as you get a little bit older, you might realize you're not as outraged as you thought you were. And you're not, and the thing that you thought was the biggest deal in the world really isn't. So like, don't try not to put all your eggs in the basket of hate for somebody, and try to understand a little bit as to why they think that way instead of how dare they think that way.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is what does them thinking what they think, or how does that affect you?
Yeah, truly. Truly yeah. affect you. Yeah.
Because here's the deal, and this is something else we were talking about. As you get older,
mm-hmm.
and or just in general, as time passes, which you get older during that time.
Oh, that how it works?
You start to realize that your time is the one thing that you can't get more of.
Mm.
And it becomes more and more precious. And that's why it's harder to get bent out of shape and dig into things that ultimately aren't that important. So like, just as an example, when we were talking about Star Wars a second ago, there was a thing where it was, I think maybe the Hollywood Reporter, they were interviewing James Mangold, right? And you mm-hmm. remember back when Solo was getting ready to come out, the news broke that he had been tapped to work on a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen and it wasn't a thing. And then Kathleen Kennedy had said that he never worked on it and so on and so on. Well, now he's come out and said, yeah, you know, the quote was more than flirted
yeah.
with the notion of making it, which is interesting. And it would have been cool to have like his idea of a spaghetti Western. I like the Book of Boba Fett, but you know, having something that was more like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
With that sense of desperation and stuff, that would have been an interesting take, you know? But I like what we got. But what I don't have is the time to spend being upset about it or frustrated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't have the time to be frustrated about that when there was a time where I would have had to like dig deep and be like, man, how dare they? And then, or be mad at the people who disagreed with my take on it. And
yeah. And that was recently, you know what I mean? Like we had those mindsets.
Yeah. And so outside of communicating with my friends, social media has taken a big back seat
yeah.
to compared to how it has been in the past.
Yeah.
And spending time with my family has become one of the most like important things to me.
Yeah.
And it's easy to, you know how, okay, God, again, it's Star Wars. We really lean on like the nostalgia part of Star Wars. That's one of the reasons we all like it so much at this mm-hmm. point is because it speaks to a part of us that was formed in the past, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that at the expense of the now.
Yeah.
And it's real easy to do that with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Google Photos, damn you, showing me 11 years ago today. And it's pictures of my little girl when she was just a wee baby, a month old, and all of this stuff. And you see the pictures of your kids growing up over time. And it's so easy to lament that.
Yeah.
And you see yourself 7 years ago and the difference in how you looked then versus now in age and fitness and whatever. It's easy to pine away for that. And you do it at the expense of being in the moment. You know, that's something that we've ended up talking about quite a bit on this show of late, of the art of being in the moment seems to get lost.
Yeah.
We talked about it with the VR headset and the whole bit. Man, your kids are never going to go back to the age they were.
No.
They're going to grow up and they're going to change. And it's hard. It's hard to see your kids put away childish things, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the saying. And if you try to stop them from doing it, you just drive a wedge in experiencing them as the person they are now. And
you also stop their progress. Like you know what I mean?
Right.
If you try to keep your kid a baby, they are at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you stunt them.
Yes.
I gave guitar lessons to a kid, and I'm sure I've talked about this on this show before, but you know, we've made 300 and something episodes of this.
332.
This podcast, so...
Plus a few,
yeah. And this guy would, his son is sitting right across from me on a chair, and this guy would squat down right next to him at the back end of the guitar and like whisper to him the whole time.
Yeah.
When I would tell him to do something, and he'd lean up, okay, what you talking about? And I'm like, I was so weirded out by it.
Yeah.
And the kid's mom would bring him, and she'd be like, here you go. We'll be sitting out here. Let us know when you're done. Mm-hmm. I'm like that. Oh my gosh, man. And the kid didn't have like any special need for that level of attention.
Mm-hmm.
That was all about the dad and not the kid. And I like as he's grown, I don't see them ever, but in the couple of times I've like caught him on Facebook or something, I feel like they've progressed past that, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But it's failing to live in the now and experience a person as they are.
Yes. I had to deal with that with myself. I don't want to get too far because I want to go back to that documentary. I don't want to get past it. But as far as the experience where they are, I had to deal with that myself with my son playing baseball because they have a coach, right? And when they have a good coach, you should let the coach coach them, right? You know what I mean? That's literally why they're there. And this is a big problem with a lot of baseball parents is they try to coach them from the sidelines to get them to do what they need to do.
Right.
And it's a natural response to like to try to get your kid to do the right thing in a spur of the moment decision.
Mm-hmm.
But also what I had to realize was they're never going to be able to do it for themselves if you're constantly yelling from the sidelines what they need to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the whole growing of it. It's the whole growing. I know it's just baseball, but it's a life lesson. It's how do you respond in the moment that you deem is the correct way? And then how do you learn from that if it's not the correct way?
Right.
You know? But also, don't put too many voices in their head. Don't give them some because that's a distraction. And when you have when you are bringing somebody to receive guitar lessons, at least give the teacher the benefit of the doubt that he's there to teach your child.
Right.
And if he's telling you something and you're like, it's like you're hurting. You're not helping.
Yeah. And if unless you know what they're teaching your kid is counter to what you want for your child, if they're pushing beliefs on your kid that aren't in line with how you're bringing,
then you get a different teacher.
Right.
You don't keep going with that teacher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's something, okay, let's back up on this a little bit too. Years ago, I had somebody, and I guarantee I've brought this up before, but I had somebody I went to high school with comment on like some Facebook post of one of my friends who like became a Christian at some point and so on and so on. And she's like, I find it real convenient or something about how so many of you dudes who like to party down and all this stuff have become Christian as you've, basically calling us like hypocrites or something along those lines.
Yeah. Like, shouldn't you be glad?
Well, and, you know, that was a very weird thing.
Yeah.
And
it's like, why you want to bring up the past? And well,
so my thing was, and this is just goes back to like the living in the now thing. You can't keep us
18 forever.
Well, yeah. And experience and like your kids experiencing things as they grow up. If you are 35 years old and you're exactly the same person you were when you graduated from high school.
Yeah.
Unless you were the most exceptional human being on earth when you graduated high school, you're doing it wrong by being that person all those years later.
Well, there's a great episode. I know you don't really like the show that much, but there's a great episode of Friends about that.
I love that show.
But there's a guy that Monica liked when she was in high school who was like the head of the football team or baseball team or something, and like was the most popular kid in school. And then she went on a date with him like, I'm like 10 years later or something. She's like, oh, am I going to date with him? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he was still wearing his Letterman's jacket and he was still hanging out with the exact same people he was hanging out with, doing the exact same things, working at the exact same place.
Yeah. Still driving the same motorcycle. His name was Chip.
Yeah. That's an extreme example, but that's also a very real example. Like at least a close example of some people who are living the exact same life they were living in high school. They never progressed.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you don't want that. That's not good.
And so to further that story, and looking back, I kind of wish I would have maybe responded a little differently. Mm-hmm. But she messaged me on the side and said, hey, look,
I
guess an apology of sorts. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I offended you, one of those things, meaning that you're wrong for being offended, but I'm sorry if you are, kind of thing, right? On and on. And I replied, and I was trying to be as straightforward as I could be.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I find it interesting that you think your opinion of me affects me at all.
We're not in high school.
Yeah, I have no response to what you said besides what I said on Facebook, that this is...
end of conversation, end of thought.
Yeah, this is wild that you think that your words have any sort of weight with me. Because that's another thing that we've talked about before, is that just because somebody says something or put something out there on the internet, on social media, doesn't mean it is worth reacting to.
Or even how they actually feel.
Right. Well, that's true too.
They may just want a reaction and you give them exactly what they wanted. Like maybe they were feeling lonely that day. Maybe they were feeling upset that day.
Right.
And they wanted somebody, even if it was to yell at them and say, how fucking dare you? They wanted somebody to react to them.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing to have, you know, like to have an immediate response. Like if anybody says something super inflammatory, you have to almost immediately go, do they actually mean this? Or are they just really need attention? You know?
Well, and that's something too that we've talked about with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Everything a kid does is for some form of payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything everybody does, honestly, is for some sort of payoff. Even if it's somebody who is convinced that nobody loves them, so what they do is act out in a way that essentially makes that become a reality.
Yes. Yes.
Right. But when a kid exhibits bad behavior, they're doing it for whatever the attention is.
Yes.
Either they're doing it to get your attention because they want you to understand they're rebelling against what you stand for. They're doing it because any form of passionate interaction is worth the cost.
It's stimulating for them.
Yeah. Or sometimes, and this is something my therapist told me, is sometimes it's just watching that they were able to wind you up like a wind-up toy and let you go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of power in that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have to tell Leia quite often, like when I'm in a conversation with somebody and she'll try to interrupt me so she'll give her my attention. I have to tell her. Or like Lily's been going through a thing with her tonsils, right? Like they're very enlarged right now. That's like, it's kind of scary how big they are, but I don't have any ear infections or anything. Leia will be like, I'll be looking at her. I'll be like, talking to Lily about like, you okay? Like this is that. How's your throat? How's this? Whatever. And then Layla be like, my teeth hurt. My thing. I'll be like, Leia, I need you to know that I see you. I see you. I know you're there and I know you want my attention. But right at this moment, I have to pay attention to Lily a little extra because she has a real problem. Like I really have to. And I'm sorry. And we'll get back to you. I promise. But like, you know, she'll just be like, my hip kind of hurts. I fell yesterday. And I'm just like, I'm like, all right, Leia, my little.
You think that's bad? Yeah. Trust me, man. I get it. Well, I've known plenty of grownups like that.
Yeah. Like the best part is when you're telling a story about yourself and then they will go on a long-winded thing about like when you're in the middle of your story, like, I remember whenever I was, like, you're like, oh, I didn't realize we were talking about you. Okay, that's cool.
Well, yeah, and sometimes, like, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt. Imagine that they're saying it because...
They're trying to be helpful?
Be empathetic.
Yeah, empathetic. Yeah, but listen, most time it's not. A lot of times
you're talking about, you're talking about how, you know, whenever I was a kid, my uncle died and blah, blah, blah. It's like, listen, I just need you to listen to me. And those people typically mean that in a, hey, I just want you to, I'm trying to relate to you.
Yes.
Right. I'm not trying to make it about me. I'm just trying to relate to you. Yeah. But it's real easy to end up being, man, I'm really sad for what happened to you. But boy, this one thing happened to me that was way worse than this.
Yeah.
Then you're a butthole. And
I mean, you and I've dealt with that a lot. You know what I mean? So like,
oh, sure.
It's just, and I'm not saying I'm not even guilty of it, you know?
Oh,
it's
same. Just, same.
I'm not saying I'm some divine being. I'm definitely fucking not. But like, it's just like, it's the human brain is interesting. So that's why whenever I see Leia doing things like that, that's why I tell her, I see you. I know what you're doing. And I see you. You know what I mean? Like, I always think of, I see you, Jake Sully. Every time, because I was watching Avatar, the new one, the other day. And by the way, we watched half of it because it's 3 hours and like 16 minutes long or some shit. I was like, Jesus Christ with these movies.
You know what? I was realizing that I'm positive I've seen the first Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe I dreamt up that I saw it. But I feel I had to have seen it. I mean,
have you seen Ferngully or Dances with Wolves?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and because I remember thinking, boy, this seems familiar. But I haven't. I've seen it one time.
Yeah.
When it was newer, much newer than it is now.
Did you see it when in 3D in the theater like everybody else? That's how I saw it because it was fantastic when that came out.
I did not.
It's quite an experience.
But, so how have you found this new one?
I found it not keeping my attention, but not much does. So it's kind of hard to gauge it, you know. Plus we were watching with our kids, so it's like, you know, without me saying, you have my daughter going, why are these ones light blue and these ones dark blue? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's find out together. Well, why? Did this person die? Why is that person gone? Why is that person not one of these blue people? I don't know. I've told you what I've known. I told you what I know. Can we find out together?
Well, that's something I go back to one of my dad's favorite quotes. You're watching the same movie I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I know, literally.
And you try to be an asshole, but it's hard not to be like, look, man, like, I know you want to talk, but like, we're watching a movie that we're trying to figure out what's happening here, you know? And it's not a super complex one either. So I'm a little alarmed you need answering questions.
So you're about halfway through, you think?
Yeah, a little under. Like, we started like 8 o'clock. So like, it was like, yeah, we're kind of pushing it to like be able to, you know? And, It was Saturday night, so we weren't like super like, you know, upset how late we were up, but like,
right,
it was just one of those things. But I could tell it was time for the kids to go to bed, and I could tell that I was kind of over the whole situation. So like, I stopped it a little bit earlier than I would have. I put it like right at the halfway point, but I started a little bit earlier because I was like, I might have to like rewatch this just to kind of see it. You know,
I've become the old man who falls asleep in a sunbeam kind of thing, where I realize that, oh my gosh, I missed at least 5 minutes of a chunk of this somewhere. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I hate being that guy, but I'm definitely that guy.
I will say about the movie, though, I have found so far it to be okay. You know, like I could tell that it's more about the visual spectacle of it all.
Right.
And it was probably something that I should have saw in theaters, I guess, but like I didn't really care to. But it's just whatever like the real spark for me that the original one had, like it kind of lives and dies in that. And the fact that there's more stories is kind of weird to me, because it kind of had a real dramatic beginning and end. And then then it's like, oh, well, they're back. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
You couldn't just imagine that this would probably happen, that these people that they shipped off would come back again and retaliate. You couldn't think we could imagine that would happen. And it was just like, and because in the first one, the whole drama of it is the whole thing actually coming to a forefront. And then the beginning of this one, they're coming back, you know, and it's like, what they were doing in the first one is just like overridden. Like as far as like the level of intensity of what they were doing to the indigenous people of, you know, at that time, you know what I mean? Like it's so much more intense immediately without any buildup. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So anyways, I didn't really spoil anything. I think it's basically just Avatar continued the same thing, but more intense, faster, more intense,
yeah,
and longer.
Well, listen, that's what we definitely need more of, is that.
Yeah.
But no, I do want to watch it. I don't want to be the guy who never has seen anything popular.
Yeah.
But that's why we keep watching the same series over and over and over again.
Yeah, We kind of glossed over earlier. You were kind of talking about the patch that you got with the Jedi Survivor and how you were able to finally get your bounties done and stuff. But like, I think Diablo needs some of those patches, because good Lord, there's some issues abound, and a lot of them seem to be around playing with other players, which is a big plus of it. Being able to play with a bunch of friends and go these missions together and scour the countryside, killing goat people and what have you, and demons and all this stuff. But we found that we were playing, at least this like last two times we played together, we played campaign missions, that they would join my game, and only because you have to join their game, you can invite them to it, and then they're in your world, right? They don't teleport anywhere, right? They're just all of a sudden you're on the same team, right?
Gotcha.
But we've noticed in the last two times we played that we would do, there are certain campaign missions, right, that are actually to progress the story because it's a big open world. Mm-hmm. And we would notice that that Corey and Frank would not get any points for beating campaign stories. They get their normal experience as they go along fighting people. But at the end, it would literally say no rewards awarded, basically something like that. And it's like, why? You know? And then when I tried to get on the other day, they had login issues where it wouldn't be able to authenticate your login. It would just go into a queue and just sit there and just sit there for like a minute or two. It would say less than 1 minute, and then the game would just shut off. So I don't know, man. A big title like Diablo, who's owned by a ginormous company like Activision, doesn't really have room for many excuses in that kind of realm, because they've been making Diablo 4 for years, and they have the infrastructure to support they want to make it an online game. So therefore, you should have had all these things figured out. And to have syncing issues, whereas the people aren't getting reward points for beating campaigns, that's a major... Because some of those campaigns take 20, 30 minutes, those missions.
Yeah.
And then they're sort of telling them they have to redo it on their own, and then to get the reward of that whole mission, that's really shitty. And they need to address it, and they're really bad at addressing it. So I don't know. It's, you hate to see that kind of stuff happen. I know it happens, but like, there should be a quicker turnaround and a figuring out of this, because Activision employs a ton of people. What? And Blizzard, yeah.
And that's the same kind of thing like with Jedi Survivor.
That should have been quick. That should fix a lot faster than what it was.
Yeah. What was so hard about this? And again, I do want to say that I don't know how to do this, but that doesn't matter because you hire people that do know how to do it. But we've talked about it before. When you have a game like Red Dead Redemption 2, the online end of it, where it's worked great for X amount of time, and then suddenly
something breaks
when they issue an update and they can't get it fixed for some reason. And to me, that's wild. Number one, it's wild that they somehow don't know that that's going to happen. But two, that they can't just roll it back to where it was. I don't understand that. But again, it's not my place to understand it. I just wants what I want. I mean, I've got a piece of software that I use at work all the time that's a presentation software. And so here's something interesting about this presentation software, that it consumes more energy downscaling a video in real time than it does upscaling it.
That's how most of them do.
Yeah. And so now suddenly I install version 7.13.1.
Yeah.
And the background, like looping background images, like movies, are stuttering.
Yeah.
Worst. But then I roll it back to 7.13.0 and they play fine. I can cure that just by re-rendering my 1080p videos to 720p.
Yeah. But also it's like whenever you work with not to get too in the weeds with file extension names, but like H.264 whatever video format from like Twitch or from like OBS, you know, like when you download that and then you have and then putting that into Premiere, and then it's already a mega compressed thing, and then you try to export it. It takes way longer than if you were working with the raw file. It's crazy how that works, because the raw file is like six times the size as the .264 file. It's kind of crazy, but it is. It's weird because it's almost like it has to recompress the compressed thing, and it's just like has to compute the whole thing, and just takes it longer. It's just weird how it all works. But so yeah, it feels similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know how that ends up happening on a big platform thing, but that's also like streaming apps. Yeah. We all use them now. I mean, pretty much everybody I know, 80 to 90% of the television they consume is from a streaming service as opposed to OTA, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that suddenly they'll do something and it doesn't work, right? Like Hulu, the Hulu app is the biggest piece of trash there
has the HBO app
ever been. Too. Like, so Hulu, they have ads, at least the tier that I am willing to pay for does.
Mm-hmm.
And if you back up to look at something, it will sync the ad delivery or miss-sync it. So what happens is now the next commercial won't play in the intended spot the commercial was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get to where it's about 2 minutes from the end, and suddenly the thing pops up that's like, watch credits or go to next video. And if you hit watch credits, it will finish the last however many minutes of the episode there is. If you don't, it just stops and goes. It's like, what century is this?
Yeah.
How do you not have this fixed? And then you hear that like Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN are supposed to all wrap into one thing where that's the only way you can get it, which I hope that's not actually a thing.
And then you have, like, I have my bundle, Disney Plus, Hulu, and is ESPN through Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is a fantastic, I'm glad I got it when I did, because good Lord, are they pissed off that I have that now. I'm like, it's not my fault. You guaranteed that forever. It's not my fault at all.
Yeah.
And then like, so I'll get these messages from Verizon like, hey, Luke, we have a perfect plan for you. It's like this, this, and this. And then we'll also have your Disney Plus bundle on there too for a really good price. And I'm like, is that price included in the free price that I already have? Or what's the really good price? It's like $20. I'm like, that's not a really good price compared to what I'm already paying.
Yeah.
It's like the really good price of free is hard to beat, my friend. I don't know what to tell you. So like, they'll be like, we have a really good plan. This is the plan you want. And it's a worse plan. And it's $120 post like $110 post like $80. I'm like, that's a no buy for me, my friend. I don't know what to tell you, but
I don't know if you know how numbers work, but that's no good.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, but you get this unlimited data. I'm like, I have unlimited data. They're like, yeah, but I'm like, but what? What do you think? Do you think you're going to add here that I'm? They're like, but you can get a really good deal on that whole Apple conglomerative deal they have for all their services. I'm like, I don't use those services. Yeah, but I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess try again.
Well, you know what that's like? That's like when you go to, you've reserved a mid-sized car at the car rental, and you go and they're trying to upsell you relentlessly on something else.
Yeah.
And they won't let up about it.
Like, yeah, but I ordered this one though.
Yeah. So I'm going to give everybody listening to this a travel hint. If you've never had this happen to you, what that means, if they will not let up on it, is that they don't have the car that you reserved.
Yeah.
But what they do have is the car they're trying to upsell you on.
Yeah.
And they're hoping to God you'll take the upgrade and pay for it, because if you don't, they have to give you that car for the price you negotiated for the one you reserved. Mm-hmm. And I remember leaving the airport in Detroit, driving a convertible Mustang, being like, "Har de har har, good try."
Biff. Yeah, it's that classic Seinfeld episode. We went to get his car, and they didn't have it. Like, his rental car, like, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have your car. He's like, but I made a reservation. They're like, yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but we don't have it. He goes, and then he was trying to say, like, I don't think you understand. He goes, I don't think you understand how your service works. Like, I don't think you know.
You understand what reservation means.
Yeah. Oh, what a classic show. Yeah. But it was the same thing that was going on with me and my, I think I talked about this, the HVAC company that went and installed all my new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, are you going to sign up? Are you ready to sign up and pick your extended warranty plan? I'm like, well, what's that about? They're like, well, your machine is guaranteed for 10 years, but you have to agree to this. I'm like, that was never a part of anything that I agreed to or signed to whenever I made that agreement with the 10-year plan. They were like, okay, yeah, we see that, but you have to have this and do this. I'm like, no, I don't, because that's not what I signed and that's not what I was told. And they haven't called me back, Eric, by the way. They called me twice and they haven't called me back. So I don't know if they're hoping that something never goes wrong. And they're just like, you know, like, if we don't talk about it, it'll go away. But I guarantee you, if something breaks, I'm going to call them.
Yeah, you are. I'm gonna be like, and if you have to, call the manufacturer of the unit.
Yeah.
And not the contractor.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
So, hey, speaking of companies that manufacture things, real quick, I'll throw this out there. I had an issue with the controller that shipped with my Xbox Series S that I got the kids for Christmas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mind you, it is now almost July.
Yeah.
We opened this Xbox on December 26th. Okay. So it's not been that long. Henry tells me the other day, well, the Xbox is practically unplayable now. Like, well, what do you mean? Well, whenever you, when you know, left thumbstick down, it just like rockets all the way down all the tiles. And so I get it and I'm looking at it and yes, sure enough, it does that only in the Y axis, you know, not in X, just Y. And you can feel it centering, the spring is centering it.
Yeah.
But when it's offset, I mean, it acts like it's at full lock.
Yeah.
It just, and long story short, that controller's under warranty. And all I got to do is ship it back with a label that they provided me and they will send me another one. Mm-hmm. Now it's a refurb, but I'm sure it'll be in great shape. I've had decent luck with them. But
yeah, if it's not, they're going to send you another one. That's how it works. They got to keep giving you one until it works. That's how it works.
Well, I just mean, I don't want one that's physically ugly. Because here's the deal. This white controller, my kid, Henry's mostly the only one who plays that Xbox now. Stella never plays Fortnite with me anymore. He knows how to take care of stuff. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
I didn't clean this off.
Yeah.
It's white and it looks perfect. So I want another one that looks perfect. That's what I want. But they have a pretty streamlined process to get it. I didn't have to talk to any people.
Yeah.
All I had to do was look for the serial number in the thing. And they're like, okay.
There you go.
Here it comes. Here's a brand new one. But or it won't be brand new. It'll be a refurb. But anyhow.
Oh, but yeah. Before it gets too long, I think we should talk about the next couple weeks of the show.
Oh, Yeah. We should talk about this. All right. Listen, I'm going to be gone. And I can't count on Cruiser to not wreck the show. He'll call up somebody like his friend Rashad or something.
Yeah, I can't have that guy on here.
And ruin it. But no, what we're going to do is we're going to take a couple weeks off. Like I said, I've got this 4th of July gig down in Texas I'm going to be traveling for across the days that we would typically do the show. And then the following week, I'm going to be on a vacation. Sweet.
Nice.
So yeah, we're just going to take a couple weeks off, people.
Yeah.
And
I know it's a shock because it's been like six and a half years of every Wednesday, your favorite show is there waiting for you. But it is bound to break eventually that we had to find a moment to I didn't want to have to stagger and find a guest and find someone to talk about. And I just like, you know what, like, let's just take it off and let's reconvene and have a stress-free 333.
Yeah, everybody needs a vacay.
There you go.
Yeah, the number of the beast over 2. That'll be our next episode. So, yeah, it'd be funnier if you could see it like written out like a math problem.
Yeah.
But still. There halfway to the number of the beast. Yeah, so, sure, listen, well, that seems like a good spot to rein this in right now.
Yeah.
And if you are really missing us over the next couple of weeks, head over to patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Okay. Yes. There's plenty of content over there to keep you happy for a long, long time.
Maybe too long.
Yeah, it's like hunker down for the cold winter and listen to us go on and on.
Into the spring.
Yeah, about subjects that aren't even related to Star Wars some of the time.
Yeah.
Because like I said, that's how we started. And that's what, like, during the course of Patreon, that was the thing about it. It's like, hey, this isn't our normal deal. This is about other stuff. right? Well, now this show is about other stuff, but this is about even other stuff than this other stuff.
Well, I feel like in a way that's kind of, that kind of added to our metamorphosis, right? Was it doing did. all this other extra stuff made us kind of talk about it outside of it. So
yeah. So it's good that it went this way, but yeah, go check that out. And if you're really, really missing us, check out Tee Public and Redbubble. Get some merch and wear it and look in the mirror and you can imagine that you're listening to us when you see like Taylor Sith staring back at you or Mr. Bones. And
Or buy a pillow and hug it.
Yeah, there you go. You could do that too. Man pillow, the pillow shaped like a man. Jessica Simpson hair extensions. I only wore those once.
Yeah.
But anyway. Oh, it's for my lower back. Who's the pillow of Daniel Craig? Oh, okay. $30 to Hogwarts School of Wizardry. Oh, it's really fun. They send you a diploma and everything. Anyhow, sorry, I do go on. So be sure to check that out. You know, maybe you'll see Cruiser or myself streaming. I probably won't be much because I'll be on vacation and I'm not taking the Xbox with me. And yeah, man. It's all right there in the bottom of the thing.
Yeah, click the things to get to the places of the things.
And it'll take you right there. And listen, I go the extra mile when I put that in the show description. Those are embedded hyperlinks in there. You're not having to count on them rendering the hyperlink correctly. It is fully tagged HTML, courtesy of Eric Struthers. You're welcome. So yeah, there's nothing left to say except this. Oh my God, I'll go see Taylor Swift in the meanwhile during this too.
Yes. Oh my God. You'll have all kinds of stories to come back with.
It'll be the best.
Yeah. You got Taylor Swift to talk about. You'll have your Austin woes and ups and lows and van rides. And
yep.
Oh man, yep. It's going to be good. It's going to be good through 33 Mark of the Beast halfway.
So listen, sweet man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And I can't wait to see her. And until next time, we are out of here.
Goodbye for 2 weeks. The Bad Motivators.
The Bad Motivators.